So I've got some good news to share with you. And some of you maybe have been aware that we talk about it maybe along the way through the year, but I'm going to kind of summarize the year that we've had since 1 year ago today. This year, we had over 3,800 people volunteering in all of the rooms, the various places where Crossings is. And we're really thankful for that. But we could always use more people who want to volunteer, even if it's for a day or if it's just for a week or for a special event, whatever it may be. But to have nearly 4,000 volunteers is a pretty good thing when you've got a little over 9,000 coming to church. Easter season, we had 6,000 people came to the Good Friday experience. 18,000 people came in person to one of our locations on Easter Sunday. That means we couldn't even go to the Paycom Center next Easter because there wouldn't be enough room in the arena. So we're not going. Don't get worried. I saw Tara and said, oh, don't go down there on Easter. Let's not go down there. It's going to be hard to get a parking spot and hard to get in and wah, you know. What if we just had enough faith to say, let's do two services in Paycom Arena? Okay, that's too much. We're not going there, okay? We have not talked about this. I'm going to get shot for that one. But 6,000 people came through this the rooms for the Good Friday, and then 18,000, a little over 18,000, were in church in one of our rooms on Easter. We prayed for 300. I mean, I think we prayed for 200. Evangelistically speaking, I think we hoped for 300, but we just prayed for two. And I'm living proof, this church is proof that God has a phenomenal sense of humor. To constantly say, huh, you just prayed for 200. Take this, partner. And so God has been very gracious, and we're thankful. Our clinics this year had 15,345 patient encounters with people in two clinics. The 330 men and women graduated from Celebrate Recovery in the last 12 months. Isn't that great? Yeah. Now, let me say something about Celebrate Recovery. Kim and I sat in the room in the chapel a couple weeks ago, and it was kind of like a graduation night, and it was for women who'd gone through the step studies. Some of you think Celebrate Recovery is only about a substance or a substance abuse. It's far more than that. Far more than that. I know a lot of crazy people who don't drink, but they're crazy. So Thursday night, let me tell you what, if you want to be inspired and if you want to love your church even more, slip into Celebrate Recovery Thursday nights. And Kim and I sat there in almost a packed room because they had all, I don't know how many women were up there on the stage, but the stage of the chapel was jammed full of women. Some stepped forward to give a testimony. And so Kim and I are sitting there, and I, at one point, I don't know if it was before it ended, but I told a few people around me, I said, I believe that Celebrate Recovery is the furnace of this church that keeps everything warm and sane. I think God's using that from the first day we dreamed of having it in a church down at Belle Isle and having people say, why would you do that in a church? Because it should have started in the church to begin with. And Celebrate Recovery has defined us in this community, and it sent a signal to our community that we can handle whatever stuff you're dealing with. We can handle it, because we've all been there. And this is not a church where you come in feeling like you're the only one that might have some baggage. We're all there. And I just see CR on Thursday nights continuing to honor God with people who are so far from God, but they've lost all hope, and it's a light in their dark world. So I'm in love with Celebrate Recovery. I believe it's very critical to this church. So there were 330 men and women in the Celebrate Recovery in the step studies this last 12 months. This past year, since the year ago today, we've baptized 355 people as they simply came before their church family just to say, I've decided to follow Jesus, and we celebrate with them in that event, in that moment. Now, let me take you on a journey of all the locations. Again, I remember I'm the guy that told Craig Groeschel, this idea of locations is just never going to work. And he's intent. He'll never let me forget that. Ever. He's going to be rubbing that in my face till I'm dead. But I'll get him back. So I didn't know what that would be like. And we knew Edmund was kind of growing, and we knew we needed to do something. So look what's happened. This is Mayfair. Just over a year old now. Beautiful building that was given to us by the Church of Christ folks. I'll forever be indebted to those folks. And from 90 people to now 400 people just over a year, God is doing some amazing things out there. We love Mayfair and Jared and Lauren Chambers. And we had to spend more than we thought, but we're fine. We're glad we did. And we'll talk about that at some point as well. But we don't regret one penny spent in bringing that building to a place where it could be a great place for people to worship. And it's growing like crazy. In Edmond, they now have over 1,400 people in church. We thought we'd get 800 people in Edmond. And, if you should have hired a pastor with some vision, because I thought, it'll seat 600, 700, 800. That's good enough. Well, 1,450 average attendance trying to get into that space every Sunday. They're parking a block away, and it's the most exciting thing to watch. Mark and Aaron Taylor, as the campus location pastors, are doing a great job. And then, of course, we have the chapel here in Oklahoma City and the great service there at 8:30. This is the room that I'm talking from right now in the sanctuary here at OKC. And then this is the venue here in Oklahoma City, and some great things happening there. This is the community center. Now, if you notice up here on this corner, it's in Spanish. And it's a multicultural, bilingual church. It's amazing what's happening over there. And they've just done phenomenal there. And I remember kind of sweating over, we built that as a community center and a clinic. Should it be a church? Is that going to hurt its mission of being a clinic and a community center? And after I quit worrying, then it was clear we need to go do this. And so now, these days, at the community center every Sunday, over 250 people gather in that place for worship. And we just redid their room. They're doing so well over there. We had to get in there and make this room look like all the others. And today is their first day in to their brand new room, celebrating what God is doing. We've been given two clinics. We built a foundation came to us years ago. Some of you know about this, but they came to us and said, you all have a free clinic that you're using. You're in the old Walmart offering free healthcare and all kinds of things. And they said, we think you need to build a specialized building, a building just for the clinic and then for the community center. And we'll build both of those. So they said, we're going to give you $6 million to get you going. And that's when I said, excuse me? We didn't ask. We didn't go to the foundation and say, would you help us? They came to us, said, we think you should do this, and we're going to get you started with $6 million. And so we've got two now. Another clinic downtown used to be, I think it was Good Shepherd Clinic. They came to us. They came to us and said, you all know how to do clinic. We'd like to give you this clinic. Please come downtown and open this clinic. And we did. So now we've got two clinics in two different places, $6 million of care this year, 834 volunteers, $46 million, which is the value of the care from 2005 to 2024. We're very thankful for these clinics and for what's going on. And in fact, they've got an open house coming on Tuesday, September 2nd, over on Penn, and then on Tuesday, September 30th, downtown. So hopefully you can make your way to that. And get to see what's going on inside these clinics. It's phenomenal to watch it happen. Now, because our current Edmond location is busting at the seams, and because we were told several years ago that the geographic center of Edmond will now be I-35 and Covell and further to the east. And if you've ever driven out there lately, you need to go out there because all you will see, as far as you can see, are rooftops of homes being built. So we bought the land at the corner of Covell and Air Depot. And we've got our design back. We're getting ready to talk to you all again in several weeks because of taking that step of faith with Mayfair. It took twice as much as we thought it would. And as you know, probably most of you know, the cost of building, I mean, even engineered as we can, the cost is through the roof. It's so high right now. But we don't believe that's a sign to say stop. And so we're going to go get started here. That will be sitting at the corner of Covell and Air Depot, hopefully in about 2 years. And we'll be talking to you more about that in a while. You've heard me quote many times Sam Shoemaker from the book, from his writing, I Stand by the Door. And there's one phrase in there that I want to give to you because I think it's a hazard for all of us. It's easy to get comfortable. It's easy to just get caught up in everything God is doing, which is a good thing. But what happens to us sometimes is what Shoemaker says, I wish people would remember what life was like when they first came through the door of a church. Because what happens, we forget what was going on in our life when somebody invited us to church. We forget that you might have come through the door with your life in an absolute train wreck. Your marriage was either ending or it was looking like it was going to end. And you name all the kinds of problems we all face at certain times. And it's easy the longer we're in to forget what it felt like before you got in. And the reason I'm telling you that is it's a hazard for all of us to forget. To forget that incredible moment when we walked into a church scared to death and we were welcomed and we were treated like family and we became a part of this fabric of this church. And God has done that over and over again. But I just need to say to those of us who've been believing in Jesus and following Jesus for a long, long time, if we're not careful, we're gonna forget why we're here. And it becomes all about us. And we'll start picking and choosing. Well, I don't need to do that. I'm gonna go to this service and then I'm gonna leave, or I don't wanna go to that class, or let's go do our own class, or let's just go on to brunch, or let's do this and do that. Now, I'm not putting you on guilt trips, I don't mean to, but it's passive aggressive, very passive aggressive, and I'll deal with that with my counselor. I just need to remind you that sometimes the longer you've been a part of a church, the more you take it for granted, and the more you forget what was going on that got you through these doors. And we need to make sure we all have that attitude that coming through these doors are gonna be people who are just as nervous as you were the first time you might have walked into a church and into this church. And I think this is something that God has given us. It's a gift, and I wanna treat it carefully. And because this is so clearly, I mean, so obviously a move of God that he's got in mind. And I keep saying, okay, are we done yet? You go, nope, you're not done yet. And something else pops. Somebody gives us 50 acres of land over here across 150th. We didn't ask for that. So I've kind of quit dreaming a little bit. What's your vision? I'm gonna get up every day and see what's going on next. Because God's up to something. He has been in this church from 1955, 59. And let me tell you what, those 50 people in 1959, if I could tell all of them, and a few are still around, of those original 55 in 1959. They started a church in March of 1959, and I was born down I-40 in Tennessee in 1959. We're both 66 years old. I know you can't believe I look so young, but I... And I'll get my chance. I believe in heaven, I'll get that chance. To find those people and say, thank you for doing all the heavy lifting you did to start a church in the north side of Oklahoma City when the only thing out there at the time was Baptist Hospital. And homes were getting ready to be built and the city was moving north. It just didn't stop. It's still moving north and south and east and west. And what a privilege that is. But I would love to thank those people who paid a pretty high price to start a church from scratch. And, you know, I was just talking about how things keep rolling our way and keep coming to us. You know what's interesting about that church, that little church that they started in 1959? The church was owned by a guy that was not a believer. He was a businessman. He'd been told if you build a church, you can rent those suckers out anytime you want to. He had nothing in it except rent it out, and those Christian people probably will take it, and they'll rent it from me. And they did. They rented the building at 55th and Lynn. It would be a few years later And now you understand why I just said some things I've said about things rolling our way. A few years later, that guy that owned that church building started attending that church. And one of the funny things about him, I never got to meet him. He was gone by the time I got here. But one of the things that, a funny story, he'd always bring his dog to church with him. Don't get any ideas. That ain't going to happen here, all right? And he'd ask the pastor if he could leave his dog in the pastor's study. And a wonderful pastor, he just said, sure, you know, bring your dogs, they get saved too. So he just, but one day, the gentleman that built that as a rental property got to know Jesus, and he gave him the building. He gave it to him. That's still happening. And I would love to tell those first 55, thank you so much. And they've been among the most excited about what's happened in our church since then. A lot of times when a church gets large, I'll never forget the day teenagers, our senior adults ministry, they asked me back in the Belleau days, we hope you won't forget us. And you ask any of them now, they say, no, they didn't forget us. God had a plan, and we've been a part of it. And I'm thankful for what we're doing and what God is allowing us to do. So let me give you just some thoughts to close. And we'll talk through about what is it that we, how do we serve? What is a church? And what is our role in this church? Came across this many years ago, and so I want to share that with you today. C.S. Lewis once said, Christianity, if false, is of no importance, and if true, of infinite importance. The only thing it cannot be is moderately important. Now find yourself in that equation. Which sentence would maybe identify you if you're just honest with yourself? Do you believe it's true? And if you do believe it's true, then how important is it in your life? And if it isn't true, would you give us a chance to convince you otherwise? But if it's false, if Christianity is false, it's of no importance, and if it's true, of infinite importance, because the only thing it cannot be is moderately important. It can't be that. Those of us who call Crossings our church home, we can celebrate four things. And this is, maybe you'll find yourself in this. I've had this outlined for a long, long time. We're a, each one of us, we're a brick in a building. We're a brick in a building, symbolic. Ephesians 2:20, you believers are like a building that God owns. Jesus is the most important stone in the building, and the whole building is joined together in Christ. You are being built into a place where God lives through his Spirit. Verse 21, we who believe are carefully joined together, becoming a holy temple for the Lord. That's what we do. We're like a brick in a building that God owns, and we're all part of that. We all share in that. Secondly, we're a part of a body. We call it a church body, the body of believers. That phrase is used quite a bit. Romans 4:4-5, just as there are many parts to our body, so it is with Christ's body, the body of Christ. We are all parts of it, and it takes every one of us to make it complete. It takes every, did you hear that? It takes every one of us to make it complete, for we each have different work to do. So we belong to each other, and each of us needs all the others. That's a powerful statement from Romans. We are all part of it, and it takes all of us to make it complete. That is still true. It was true when it was spoken by Paul, and it is still true today, that each of us need each other. And we do this together as we are together in celebrations and all kinds of wonderful things that happen in our worship services on the weekends. We need each other, and we all need to be a part of it. We all need to be supporting it, and we need to be showing to God that we believe he can do something with what we have to offer, whether it's our gifts or talents or abilities or our money. God's going to use all that, but you got to let him. It takes a step of faith when someone says, okay, I'm going to give this a shot. Maybe I'll volunteer. Maybe I'll give more money. Maybe I'll do this or that. Maybe I'll just be a greeter. I'm gonna, all the rooms right now, I'm just gonna declare all of you, and every person, I'm declaring you all, as of today, greeters. And your job is to get out into the lobbies and the foyers and the atriums and go up to people you don't know. Do it today, scare them to death. Do it today. Go up to somebody you don't know and say, hey, I don't know you, are you new here? And they may say, well, I've been here for 25 years. But it doesn't matter. They're going to be touched because you're willing to go be a greeter. So you're all assigned to be greeters. We got 5,000 or 6,000 greeters today in the various rooms. You're now elect. I've now chosen you. That sounds like God, doesn't it? I've now asked you to just reach out, look to other people, look for someone you don't know. Look for someone that looks like a deer in headlights because they're not sure what door to walk through. They just walked into the building. We who believe are carefully joined together, becoming a holy temple for the Lord. So we belong to each other, and each of us needs the others. And then number three, I'm a lamb in a flock. God made us, this is Psalm 100, God made us, and we are His. We're His people. We are the sheep of His pasture. That's who we are. We're sheep. He's always comparing us to sheep. And He's the shepherd. He loves all of His sheep. Remember the story? One sheep is missing. One lamb is missing. What's He do? He leaves all the other. He leaves 99. He goes out to find the one that is lost. Some of you may have come into this church when you were the one. The one that was lost. Some people come into this place, it's a last ditch effort. I've tried everything else, might as well try church. And God found you, and you became a lamb in His flock. It's the greatest thing can happen in a church. God made us, we are His people, the sheep of His pasture. And then finally, I'm a member of a family. That's who we are. We're a brick in a building, we're part of a body, we're a lamb in a flock, we're a member of a family. Look at this. All the believers met together and shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. They worshiped together. They met in homes for the Lord's Supper and shared meals with great joy and generosity. And you know what happened because they were doing this? It says the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. And this is exactly what a church does. And I believe this is what we are hoping and trying to do our best, and I think God's honoring that. All the believers are together and they share everything they had. That's called a church that has put Jesus at the center and is full of people who have said, I've tried everything. I've tried to go to every little vending machine in the church. Ka-ching, I want a Bible class. And you go over here, ka-ching, I want this, or I want a potluck dinner. And you go over here, where'd our bookstore go? Where'd it go? Did we close that bookstore? Yeah, we did when Amazon came along. I didn't have a choice. But you better be careful because you can, particularly in a church this size, you can find yourself treating it like a vending machine. I think I want this today. And you pull the lever and you get what you wanted. That's not how it's supposed to go. God has put us together for some reason. A few I think we can figure out, but we may never know what God's up to until the other side of heaven, when we get there. But God is up to something significant, has been from day one in 1955. And one of my highest goals these days is paying it forward. What kind of church are we handing to the younger generation? The kids down in the nursery right now, they don't even know what's ahead of them. The kids down in the student ministry, we've seen more and more students thinking about maybe ministry. We hope they will. We hope they'll follow God if that's a nudge in their heart. And I go through all the hallways and all the rooms and all of our locations, what God is up to in the lives of people. I just wanted to remind you today that is happening. I wanted to remind you today that this is worth it. I wanted to remind you today that it takes all of us to make this work. Some people stop coming to church because they want something different, or it's okay. People come and they go, I got used to that years ago. That's just part of life. And needs change. And Oklahoma City does not lack for great churches. So that's not the problem. But wherever you go, wherever you are, particularly if you're here, let's take it serious. This is a gift. We don't deserve this. But for some reason, God has decided to just stretch us till we think we're going to break. And frankly, I'd rather be stretched than to sit still and gain more weight. Spiritual weight. Yeah. So that's my prayer for you. That's my plea to you. And I believe we all need to join in prayer. I believe we need to, let's do a self-evaluation here. How are we doing as a member of a body of Jesus Christ? Are we bringing to the table what God has given us to bring to the table, whatever that may be? And if we will all agree that this is important to this city and beyond, I didn't say, I left out the whole missions thing of what's happening around the world in some orphanages and things that we're a part of. So it starts in that crazy plate that's passed every week. It's called an offering plate or a bucket. Some of you have buckets. But that becomes the place where God decides, are we doing our part? And can we continue to do this? Are we treating this like it's truly a gift from God, and it's the least we can do is to pray for it and be involved and stay connected. Be generous with your time and your resources. This is the opportunity God continues to give us. And I don't know about you, but I'm so thankful to be a part of it. I'm going to close in prayer here in just a moment. And after I pray, our prayer teams will be in the front of all the rooms. And those of you who are in those rooms, if you need someone to say a prayer for you, and it may be just something you need to just say, I need prayer because maybe there's a physical issue. Maybe you've been told you have cancer. Or maybe you're just having a rough time, you don't know why. Maybe you're feeling a little depressed. Let somebody pray for you, whatever it may be. They'll be standing there after this service is over. They'll be in the front of every room, and it would be their joy and privilege to pray with you. So let me close us in prayer. Father, thank you so much for loving us enough to come to us in the form of Jesus Christ. And everything he said is still as practical today as it was then. And what he asked us to do is still today desperately needed, just like it was then. Father, I thank you for Crossings. I thank you for churches all over the world who today can say we're doing the best we can with what God has given us. And Father, that's what we want to be, is a church that simply does the best we can with what you put in our hands. Thank you, Father, for this gift. Thank you for loving us. And I thank you, Father, that above all things, you've forgiven us and you're willing to use us in spite of all that has been messed up in our lives. Thank you, Father, that you have a tendency to turn messes into ministry. And we're thankful for that. We pray this in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen and amen.